This is the Warren County Radio Bible School today, and for today, we're going to have our special feature in which we read from the Rock Cliff Review. But before I do that, I want to read Numbers 11, 24 through 30, and that will provide the background for what we're about to read from the Rock Cliff Review. So, Numbers 11, 24 through 30. And Moses went out and told the people the words of Jehovah. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tent. And Jehovah came down in the cloud and spake unto them and took of the Spirit that was upon him and put it on the 70 elders. And it came to pass, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did so no more. But there remained two men in the camp. In the name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but had not gone out unto the tent. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the minister of Moses, one of his chosen men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Art thou jealous for my sake? Would that all Jehovah's people were prophets, that Jehovah would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Now upon that reading, I want to come to this article that appeared in the Rock Cliff Review. And the name of this article is, call it Teamwork. In Numbers 11, 24 through 30, now that's what we just read. In Numbers 11, 24 through 30, we read of Eldad and Medad. The Spirit rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. But they were not of the 70 that had been called to the tabernacle for that purpose. A young man ran to Moses to tell them about these two, and one of Joshua's young men said to Moses, My lord, Moses, forbid them, Numbers 11, 28. The wise, mature, understanding, and ever meek Moses said to the young man, Envious thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Numbers 11:29. A similar thing took place as Jesus journeyed toward Jerusalem with his disciples. Mark 9:38 through 40 tells us of John coming to Jesus and saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him, because he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Luke tells us the same story in Luke 9:49 through 50. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Some have twisted these stories to try to justify things elsewhere condemned in the Scriptures. Martell Pace addressed this in his commentary, saying, This event is not analogous to denominational or sectarian differences. In no way does it justify religious divisions. Neither is the fact that this follower of Jesus was not among the apostles parallel to the modern desire to be tolerant regarding doctrinal divisions. Neither is the fact that this follower of Jesus was not among the apostles parallel to doctrinal division. Jesus did not want division among his followers. He prayed earnestly for unity in John 17. Likewise, Paul later pled that no division exist in the congregation at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Rather, this text condemns congregational jealousies. It rebukes the practice of despairing or refusing to fellowship with other Christians on the grounds that they do not involve New Testament doctrine. Now that's in the Truth for Today commentary of Mark 9-16 by Martel Pace, Resource Publications, 2018, and this is used by permission. It is interesting to note that this is the only instance of John acting alone in the book of Mark. It comes soon after the other apostles had failed to cast out a foul spirit from a man, Mark 9:14-29. It comes in the midst of Jesus preparing his apostles for his passion, Mark 8:31, Mark 9:9, Mark 9:31, and Mark 10:32-34. And it comes in the midst of Jesus teaching his apostles humility, Mark 9:33-37, Mark 10:13-16, Mark 10:35-45. Behold the patience and long suffering of Jesus with these men. Time was growing short, and there was still much to learn. If those who had been with Jesus had difficulty overcoming envy, jealousy, small-mindedness, and self-centeredness, we should not be surprised to find struggles with these things today. We can learn from Jesus to be patient and long-suffering with those having these struggles. Those who have a zeal for the Lord, as did these apostles, would do well to meditate on how the Lord prepared his apostles for their mission. It took them a while to learn, and it may take some of us a while to learn as well. Those apostles had to learn that their work was not about themselves. It was not about their projects. It was not about their congregations. It was about the kingdom of God. When we see others engaged in the work of the Lord, we should forbid them not. Rather, let us rejoice with them in their success and encourage them in their difficulties. I praise the preachers and congregations in and about Warren County, Tennessee, for how they support and encourage one another. We often find ourselves piling special classes, gospel meetings, vacation Bible schools, and other worthy activities on top of each other during the same week. Attempts to avoid these conflicting schedules has proven futile. But we have something better. We know how to support one another, and we can do so because we teach the same things. This kind of cooperation and unity does not occur everywhere, but we have it here, and we can rejoice in that as we nurture that. We have scheduling conflicts, but we do not call it competition. We call it teamwork. Now that's the reading from the Rockcliffe Review. The Rockcliffe Review is the bulletin that we pass out at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe when we gather together on the first day of the week. And we read from the Rockcliffe Review at the Warren County Radio Bible School, because this Bible school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of these assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this Bible school, we take advantage of the work of an old preacher that's been long gone, but whose name was once familiar all around these parts, E. A. Elam. He wrote Sunday school lessons and Sunday school notes for Sunday schools that your grandparents or maybe even your great-grandparents attended. Here's a Sunday school lesson for February the 27th, 1927, that we have been studying, about making the community Christian. And we've come to the part that tells us that we, by the Spirit, we are to walk. Now, the lesson text is Galatians 5, verses 13 through 25. And I'm going to read now verses 24 and 25 as we come to the conclusion of this old Sunday school lesson. Here's what it says, Galatians 5, 24 and 25. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk. Here's what Elam had to say about those. They that are of Christ Jesus. Now they are Christians, followers of Christ, governed by Him. Such have crucified the flesh with the passions and lust thereof. Crucified is a strong term and means that those under the control of Christ have put to death the passions and lust of the flesh. Paul says, by the cross of Christ, the world was crucified to Him and He to the world. And so if we live by the Spirit, that means inasmuch as or since we live in a spiritual kingdom, the church, or under a spiritual dispensation and under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, as it's called in Romans 8 in verse 2, then by the Spirit let us also walk. That is, live as the Spirit through the Word of God directs. Vainglorious is self-opinionated, elated over one's own achievements, covetous of empty glory and vain honors. Christians should not be puffed up one against another, but having the same love and being of one accord and one mind should do nothing through faction or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind each should count the other better than himself, Philippians 2:2-4. Striving for vainglory provokes or challenges one another to rivalry and leads to envy and other bad feelings. That's the last of that Sunday school lesson. But as is often the case, at the end of the Sunday school lessons, there's a little poetry. And here's one by one of my favorite poets, Edgar A. Guest. The name of the poem, My Resolve. To live as gently as I can, to be no matter where a man, to take what comes of good or ill and cling to faith and honor still, to do my best and let that stand the record of my brain and hand, and then should failure come to me, still work and hope for victory. To have no secret place wherein I stoop unseen to shame and sin. To be the same when I'm alone as when my every deed is known. To live undaunted, unafraid of any step that I have made. To be without pretense or sham, exactly what men think I am. And then here's another little poetry by Brian Collier. It is not the thing that you meant to do, but the thing you did, my son, that counts in keeping the record true till the long day's work is done. It's not the castles you built in Spain or the mighty deeds you planned. It is not the dream of the dreaming brain, but the deed of the toiling hand. For the airy castle dissolves in air, and the vision fadeth fast. But the thing that is done, it standeth there till the earth and heaven are past. Now on the opening page, I see our next Sunday school lesson is about sharing the good news. These are studies in the Christian life, and certainly the Christian should be ready to be sharing the good news. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is the golden text. It's when Jesus said to His apostles, "Ye shall be My witnesses." You see, those apostles went out and shared what they had seen and heard into all the world. Now, we can't be witnesses like that, but we can share. what they saw and heard, because it's written in the book.